Blog Talk Radio.
Our guests are the ladies from the MAACD campaign, and we're going to get into a conversation with them in a few minutes, but first we have some beauty news.
Good evening, everyone. Just really quickly, it's just a couple of different items. First, celebrate Temptu's 30th anniversary by receiving up to 20% in savings plus free shipping for the month of August. Visit www.temptu.com for more information. Friends Beauty Supply. If you're in North Hollywood on Tuesday, August 23rd, swing by Friends Beauty Supply between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for a free teeth whitening event put on by Spray White Salon. You can register by going to www.friendsbeautysupplyonline.com, and Friends is spelled F-R-E-N-D-S. So it's friendsbeautysupplyonline.com. And lastly, the Artist Lab will be hosting a Working in the Industry workshop on August 28th in Washington, D.C. The workshop will consist of a photo shoot, portfolio, and agency talk with representatives of the Celestine Agency in L.A. and the Kess Agency in New York. Check out the full agenda and pricing information at www.theartistlabs.com. And you can join me on Facebook for a wrap-up discussion of tonight's show immediately following the show. It's going to be at 10 p.m. Just go out to Facebook and search Illusions Cosmetics.
Great. First, before we get into tonight's conversation, I wanted to remind everyone out there that's listening that you can call in with your questions or comments at 914-803-4399. Again, the number is 914-803-4399. You can also join us in the chat room, where both my sister and I are signed in tonight. So if you have questions or comments, you can get them out over there as well. Welcome to the show, ladies. We have Monise and Hema on the line with us. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Glad to have you both here with us tonight.
Hello.
The founder and co-founder of the MAACD campaign.
Yes.
I'm just going to get right into it. First, I would first like to know a little bit about you ladies. Just tell us a little bit about who you are, your backgrounds, just a little, because I know tonight is about a campaign, but I want our listening audience to just know a little bit about who you are. So if you can just give us a quick introduction on who you guys are.
Well, my name is Monife Coffey, and I'm actually the founder of the MAACD. And I actually live my life as a celebrity makeup artist and a writer. I have worked with many editorials, and I've worked with a few well-known celebrities. I've worked with Terrell Owens. I've worked with Adrienne Bilyon. I have also worked behind the counter, like so many makeup artists have, and this is basically where I learned that we were not represented, meaning women of color, at these cosmetic counters. And as my career took off and I started shopping a little bit more just for clients and just my own personal use, I kept keeping this in mind that, there's a big void as far as representation for women of color. And that is basically how the NAACD was born. So,
okay.
If I may go ahead and give a little intro on myself, my name is Gemma Alejandra, and I am actually also a makeup artist, and I've been in the industry for nearly 10 years now as a certified makeup artist. I live in South Florida now, and that's the area I mostly serve. I've dabbled a little bit in the celebrity makeup, but I kind of really like dealing with everyday people, so I do that a lot. And I dabble in writing. And Monife and I were colleagues, and actually we worked as account executives for a skincare line here in the Northeast, and that is how we met and our friendship ensued from there on. So when she had this idea, she very soon recruited me to the idea, and I became the co-founder of NAACD.
Nice. Now, you guys know that when you say NAACD, it sounds so much like NAACD.
It does, and we try. we don't want it to, but at the end of the day, I mean, the message is just as strong as it's not. So it does. When we say MAACD, but you know what? It is what it is. It's a double A in there.
Well,
you know, to be honest, when we were thinking of the name, we were thinking of several different names and several different acronyms and anagrams, and this one was the one that just kind of stuck because we did keep saying the NAACD, and we did hear that little similarity there, but I don't know, it works for us. We like it, and the initials definitely spell out exactly what we're about. So,
will you tell us exactly what NAACD is, what the initial stands for?
Well, it stands for Makeup Artists Against Complexion Discrimination. The C actually serves two purposes. It can be used as complexion or even colorism. The organization started as an idea after I started writing a book, and the book was based on colorism. And it was about my own life living as a black woman, of course, in our world, and also as a makeup artist. I would see that people would point out my complexion as if it was some type of issue, maybe for them, or they might have felt that I had some type of issue with my complexion, which I've never actually had one. I've been very comfortable in my skin, but I have conversations with people that would say, oh, you are so pretty to be a dark-skinned girl, or men would say to me, you know what, I don't usually date dark-skinned women, but you know, as if I was this obsession to the rule. In fact, I'm just a black woman. That happens to be my nationality, and we come in different rays of color. And then as a makeup artist, you know, you work for these brands where you're there to sell thousands of dollars of their product, and at the end of the day, you can't even wear it. But you're supposed to tell people how great it is. And in the media, I mean, I'm reading call lists and casting calls for, you know, Asian women and Latino women, and then it says specifically light-skinned African-American. And that is where this idea came from. And I just felt like a book wasn't enough. I felt like a book wasn't enough because if the word is not out there, no one is going to buy it or read it. Another thing, colorism is such an ugly character that has been within our community for hundreds of years. And it's not just the black community. There's so many other nationalities that actually have this issue. And I knew that the MAACD would not be able to change that process and that thought process. But with these cosmetic companies, there's definitely something that we can do because there's no need to say that you represent every woman when you don't.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, and I found that to be a big issue years ago when I freelanced with several cosmetic lines. You know, their main goal, and the truth is their main goal, is to sell. And, you know, when they would have events at the department stores and they would say, okay, you know, the event may be to introduce the new spring colors, but, you know, maybe all of the shipment didn't come in and this is what they have. And so they're telling you to, like, really push this one particular color on everybody when you can clearly see that that color is not going to work for everybody. whether it's a foundation or a powder or something else, you know, you still see those issues. And, you know, I can really understand where you're coming from, you know, from mm-hmm. that standpoint.
I think definitely all makeup artists who have been in the field, especially makeup artists who happen to be of color, whether they're male or female, can understand, because we've all been in that position where we've had that client, and we know, you know, like one of the things that Monifa and I discussed when we were talking about this idea was, you know, I was telling her I've worked for a lot of different lines. I've worked for MAC, I've worked for NARS, I've worked for Benefit. And I personally know that there are some lines where you get in a situation when that client comes to you, that woman of color or that client of color comes to you because they look at your skin and they think, aha, there's somebody who knows what I need. And, mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of almost like the analogy I made to her was almost like the Trojan horse when you're working for a company. And mind you, by mentioning the names of the lines I work for, I'm not necessarily pointing out, because MAC actually has a great range and NARS
right.
has a pretty decent range as well. But I will say that I think that there are other companies that I have worked for, even in freelance terms, that don't have such a great range. And oftentimes I feel like we're hired almost as a Trojan horse for that purpose, you know, because they know that when that client comes in and sees me, they're thinking, aha, there's a girl who knows what I need. And
right.
they expect for you, for all means and purposes, to sell what they have, not necessarily what the client needs. You know,
right.
that's what they expect you to do. Now, a good, honest makeup artist is going to be honest to the client and say, this is, you know, this is not what's right for you, especially when you work in an environment like Sephora that has so many different brands. I think
right.
that there are a lot of honest artists who would admit to the fact that, yeah, I worked for this line, but they didn't have for that person, so I took them to another line that did. But the bottom line is that the employers, they do expect for you to sell that, you know, deep almond to that woman who is
mm-hmm.
has a very rich, dark skin, and try to pretend that it works and send her out there with a mask on for the sake of making that number. And I think that's one of the things that we're trying to call awareness to, is that there's no reason for that. The fact of the matter is the resources exist, okay? And it's not that we're saying that there should be 15,000 colors for women of color and 8 colors for women who are Caucasian. What we're saying is that there should be at least equal representation when you're looking at a cosmetic line that has, you know, 20 colors, and 16 of them are variations of beige, and there are only 4 variations of brown. That's not equal representation. So you're not really even trying to be sort of equal and across the board.
Yeah,
at least
I don't understand
it. Right.
I don't
understand it because the formulation is already formulated. You can't throw a little cocoa powder or something in there to make it, you know, a little deeper. I really do not understand that at all. And a lot of it's so funny because I actually had the opportunity of interviewing for a national artist position. And, I mean, they were selling me this line, and I was like, oh, my God, I want this foundation myself. Of course. Oh, we don't have anything in your color. But, you know, with supply and demand, we may formulate some deeper shades. But the same company gave me the same spiel about how they were creating this purple mascara because they made one for Madonna. And my whole thing is, do you really think that more women are looking for a purple mascara opposed to the perfect match foundation that's fragrance-free, paraben-free, long-wearing, waterproof? They're giving me this whole spiel. Every woman wants that. And if you did a
right.
survey, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to really get that many women that's like, you know what, I do want the perfect purple mascara. No, opposed to the perfect foundation that matches your shade, that looks natural, like that is so crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you all heard, especially when referring to a darker-skinned woman of color, oh, her skin's beautiful, she doesn't need foundation?
I've heard it a lot.
I've heard it a lot, but
I'm
that dark-skinned woman.
I was going to say, I mean, can I say this about my colleague? Monifa, for all means and purposes, honestly, truthfully, you know, when you got the opportunity to see her in real life, in person, she has the most flawless skin without anything on, truly. So I know she's heard that forever and ever and ever. But that doesn't mean you don't want to, you know, beat your face. I mean, she definitely has absolutely beautiful, amazing,
rich skin.
That's so a lie. I'm not going to let her tell y'all that. That's my foundation, y'all.
Okay, whatever.
Because I have my own little flaws and imperfections that I need perfected. Everybody, oh, my God, you have such great skin. Well, I like to say thank you. Thank you, Makeup Forever HD formulation, number 178. I'm just saying. So it's, I'm not gonna take all the credit for it, but a lot of black women don't wear foundation. A lot of them don't need it. A lot of people, period, don't need foundation. Let's just be honest.
That's true.
But it's just like I said, you
don't
need it, but
you don't need it.
Yeah, but sometimes you just want to put it on.
That's
right. Then what?
It's one thing to say you don't need it and you don't want it.
Some people
it's another thing
it.
To say you
some
can't have
need,
it. Yeah, some people need to conceal dark circles, hyperpigmentation, uneven skin tone, any little blotches or marks. Those are the people who need it. But makeup is it's part of the European culture more than anything. It's not part of our culture. But this is something that we have embraced, and this is something that. You know, just out of vanity purposes, is just wanting to look good. We want to look good just like everybody else. But my problem is there's no reason to say that you are here to service every woman, and you're not. It's no reason to say, hey, we are going to create a purple mascara and sell it to the mass market. But, unfortunately, we want you to work for us, and we don't have a color for you. This makes no sense to me. And it makes no sense to have 13 foundations and you only have two. There are millions of black women ranging from Caribbean backgrounds, African backgrounds, Latin backgrounds, and even our Mediterranean women. I mean, we're going very, very deep when we start thinking of different cultures. But there are so many women that feel like they are not being represented. And as Tima said, there's only a few shades that you will see on that gondola that is supposed to represent all of us. And it's like, you know, it's either a hit or miss.
We also want to point out the fact that we're not by any means trying to say that nobody is representing women of color. Certainly not. Thank God. Okay. There are lines that are giving us decent range. But what the whole purpose of the call to awareness that we're trying to bring about is the fact that it should not be the exception. It should be the rule. And when you have, you know, these, I mean, cosmetics is a huge, huge industry, a multi-billion dollar industry. There is absolutely no reason for big names to not have, you know, enough shades, maybe not for every single person on planet Earth, but definitely where you're looking at the line as a whole and saying, I can go to any line and find something, or for the most part, where every woman should be able to have the experience of saying, I can go to Target and pick up because this happened to me. I was out of state. Well, I'm not going to say now, but I was out of state a couple of months ago also in another state. And I ran out of my foundation, and I needed something on the go. And I know so many women who are not women of color who can go to Target, who can go to CVS and pick up a drugstore something and just make do for the moment, okay, because they go to those lines and you see 6, 8, 10, 9, 11, I actually counted 12. On this particular line, shades of beige, and 5 shades of brown. And I'm including in the shades of brown the 2 deep, deep tan, okay, which most makeup artists would agree with me don't necessarily tend to fit the average woman of color. So, you know, I mean, this is something that shouldn't be the exception to the rule to where, you know, I couldn't find something there. There was nothing there for me. And I know this is something that so many people deal with. I remember starting wearing makeup at 16 years old, and I was spending $60 a bottle of foundation at 16 years old, my first makeup ever, because there was nothing else that fit me. I had to go to Prescriptives where they were custom blending. There was nothing that fit me. And I'm pretty sure that most, you know, Caucasian women or women with fairer skin specifically, and particularly with the pinker undertones and fairer skin, I'm pretty sure that was not their first makeup experience, but I can also say I know many women of color for whom that was their first makeup experience, and many women of color for whom that's the reason why they really have gone, you know, years and years and years without ever really wearing foundation, because the only one or two times they've ever tried to wear foundation, whether they were having a complimentary makeover at a counter or had an appointment with a makeup artist somewhere, they literally
you know, walked away and said, what is this mask I'm wearing? Yeah, the eyes look great, the lips look great, but this is the mask I'm wearing on my face. I don't like this. I don't want to wear this. Why would I go and buy this product and put it on my face? This is a serious issue, and it's also an education issue. There's so many artists out there who I actually worked with an artist one time at a huge event for a company that I was representing at this event. And I had about four girls whose makeup I was doing simultaneously. They were lined up in the director's chairs in front of me simultaneously. I was doing makeup. And the other artist who was there with me was standing by her chair and not doing much of anything. And a woman of color came up to her and asked her to do her makeup. And she actually had the nerve, I was outraged, she actually had the nerve to say, oh, I don't do African-American skin. I walked away. I mean, I just thought to myself, how many times has this poor woman experienced that from an artist? So it also has to do with education for other artists who don't know, who this becomes like a fringe thing, like a specialty. It's not a weird specialty. These skin types are... Right, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, they're not real makeup artists. People who say they don't do makeup for women of color are just not real makeup artists, because a makeup artist can
absolutely
do
it sells
anything.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
You know what, when you have artists like this, this was an artist that was hired out of some agency. Like, this artist is walking around telling people she's an artist. And not for nothing, but people who don't live and breathe around true artists, supposing that was that woman's first interaction with a makeup artist. This is what she's thinking. Of course, you and I know, as all of us who are talking here, we're makeup artists, so we know better. But the people that are calling themselves artists and are, quote-unquote, going to school and getting, you know, certified but walk out the door saying, I don't know how to do this skin, I don't know how to do that skin, I don't know how to do this eye shape, I don't know how to do that eye shape, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that. They are still, they're representing us poorly, the rest of us poorly, to other people. So I think the whole thing has to even go down all the way to education, because something has to happen for this artist to think that that was even okay to say. Yeah, getting
now,
into the education of, oh, I'm so sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, finish your thought.
I was going to say, getting into the education part of makeup artists, that's a whole nother animal also, because in some schools, we are poorly represented. So maybe she is a makeup artist. Maybe she came from a town where there's not too many women of color, not that much brown skin. Because I have met makeup artists who do a great job on everyone else, but not us. And I had this girl tell me that she could not see our undertone. She said, I just can't see it. And I'm like, okay. Like, well, you need to go back to school right now. You need to do the three stripe test on the side of the face, and you're going to have to go back to that. I don't understand why they cannot see our complexion. It makes no sense to me, as bold as it is. But at the end of the day, maybe if they had more companies who had a wider range, you wouldn't have so many people walking around with the wrong color foundation and so many makeup artists who are confused on how to even find a foundation for us.
Maybe being in this small town, maybe she doesn't strive to be more than what she is. And, and because in this country, of course, as we all know, there are women of all colors.
Yeah.
And if you strive to be, a better makeup artist, a well-known makeup artist, a talented makeup artist, then you'll learn how to do all those women.
Right. Mm-hmm. I would like to add, I see we're trying to defend that artist, and I'm not going to let her get off the hook. She was not from any small town. She was from right there in South Florida, okay? She happened to go to the same makeup school.
Give her the benefit of the doubt.
Okay, no, ma'am. No benefit of doubt for this young lady, okay? And I'm going to be kind. I'm not going to say her name on this show. But I will say I was appalled. And I happen to know that she gets booked frequently as a makeup artist in that area. And she went to the same school that I had gone to years before her. And mind you, when I went there years before her, it was a little tiny startup school. Now it's one of the biggest schools in South Florida for makeup and one of the most well-renowned. So she has the advantage of being there when it was already, a well-known school that has even bigger programs and more things going on. So she has zero excuse. And might I add, to the point that, Janice, was that you that made that point about being a bigger, about shooting to be the best?
That was Denise.
Denise, okay, I'm sorry. Denise, may I add to the point of what you just said? Absolutely. Any good makeup artist should be the best makeup artist she can be and wants to be able to paint any face that sits in her chair, any face,
whatever the race, whatever the color, whatever the nationality, whatever the skin texture and issue, she strives to be able to make that face flawless. That is what makes you a makeup artist. That is the difference between a makeup artist and somebody who plays the makeup.
Right. Absolutely. Now, I have Tasha on the line. She's a friend of yours, Monife, on Facebook, and she just had a quick question about what you ladies are doing. Hold on, I'm trying to get on. Are you there, Tasha?
Hello, yes.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you? You can ask your question.
Hi. Okay. I want to start off by saying, Monife, I don't think you really know me directly, but we are friends on Facebook. And I guess Wendy Williams would say, you're like my friend in my head. So anyways, I really want to understand what's going on because I saw it come past my news feed, and I'm a dark-skinned woman myself, and the things that you're talking about, I've been through all that, the makeup counters, Saks, Nordstrom's, Macy's, all that. You're still not getting my color, so I just decided not to wear makeup altogether.
Right.
So my question to you is, and I love those little T-shirts too.
Thank you.
What exactly are you doing? Are you finding different brands and you're educating darker-skinned females on what makeup to wear? Or are you going to, like, formulate a makeup in different shades?
Right.
What exactly
What the campaign is basically, it's a fight against the cosmetic companies that do not formulate for us. And
Right. Basically
what we're doing is we're trying to demand that they open the range of color to make sure that all women of color are actually represented. May I ask where you live?
I'm from Florida.
You're from Florida.
The Tampa area? Yes.
Hey, Florida. How you doing?
Hi.
My business partner is from Florida. Okay. And I know sometimes, depending on the demographic and where you actually live, that also makes it very hard because the buyers of certain companies, depending on where you are, and technically in the South, they like to leave some shades out. It may be available.
Right.
Yeah, I said it. It may be available, but the buyer's not getting it because 9 times out of 10, wherever that area is, it may, you know, women of color might not shop there for many different reasons, where in the North, we probably have a wider color range, but they're still missing some things. So what we want to do is build awareness because this is something that everybody probably talks about at home within their girlfriends and their family or even when they go to a cosmetic counter and they don't see their color, but no one really does anything about it. There's been a couple of write-ups about it, but there's no one that's really taken a stand and taken charge. And I think once these cosmetic companies get a chance to see that somebody is standing up to them, that there are women that do care, and there are women that are willing to go toe-to-toe with them and make sure that they either formulate or get left behind. And my motto is if you can't join them, beat them. So, yes, I would love to create a cosmetic line that represents every range of color.
This topic is kind of touching to me because it's not just makeup brands. It's like racism within your own race with some issues that's going on. Topic,
yeah.
But it's just because I'm dark skinned. I'm getting discriminated left and right. I can't even find any makeup, you know. So I'm just wondering, like, you know, if somebody could come up with a brand of makeup with my color, I would just be so happy. My skin is not the smoothest, but I have had makeup on and it looked good. But like you said, I walk out and look like I'm wearing a mask. It's like, you know, Chandler Funeral Home did my makeup.
And I call that the ugly casket look, and we don't like that. We don't like that at all.
Call it casket sharp.
I like her. I love her.
Seriously. And I like your little motto, am I not beautiful too? Because I've always wondered that. Am I not beautiful too?
Yeah. And the reason why I wrote that is because we feel that within your community, sometimes we are discriminated against because
sometimes
of our complexion. And to me, it's like if you're dealing with, I'm picturing that woman who is uncomfortable in her skin. This woman who has been ridiculed all her life and teased all her life about something that she really cannot change. And I'm thinking of this woman who is dating.
Can I interrupt? I really don't have a complex about my complexion, but I'm feeling you. Go ahead.
Good. But sometimes people make an issue of your complexion.
Right.
And it makes you uncomfortable in a sense.
because every time they're talking to you or directing something towards you, your complexion comes up, and it's not even necessary.
Always. I can walk past people. They say, dang, she dark. Okay, really, I didn't know that. And another thing I want to bring about, sometimes it is within my own race, because I can go hang out with my white friends and they'll say, you know, you're so beautiful, your facial features. But then I go somewhere else and they're just like so stuck on my color.
There are definitely trigger words that we, and this is Hema speaking of, there are definitely trigger words that we as black women have become accustomed to. You know, your features are so beautiful, your skin is so rich, and like, but it's the way also the way things are said, and you know, I'm Latina, and in the Spanish community and culture, we have certain hang-ups also on that. It's not quite the way that the American culture is. I'm a first generation American, so my lineage does not actually end, you know, begin here, I should say. But you know, in the islands, it's a different thing. You know, when people say in Spanish, "mi negra," which is the term for black, it's a term of endearment you hear a lot of times in songs, but there's definitely a distinction. You know, they definitely have distinctions. I remember watching Letterman and listening to Eva Longoria say how her family called her, you know, Prieta, which is a horrible term for saying that someone is like dark, but it's like with a connotation of dark and ugly. Mm. Okay, and this is something that exists. And so you can imagine me. I'm a black Spanish girl. I'm not a dark skinned Spanish girl, honey. I am Afro Cuban. And when people say to me, oh, you're Cuban, or what I'd love to hear also is, I didn't know there were black Cubans, and I love to say, we're everywhere.
Right.
We're taking over.
One more question before I go.
Sir.
Are you going to be blogging about different products or brands that, you know, I can try?
Absolutely. We're eventually going to jump in really quickly.
Tasha, I'd like for you to send an email to illusionsbeauty@gmail.com. And we can try to help you out with your issue. You're looking for was it foundations you were mentioning?
Yeah, I just want like not too much, just a light foundation when I go out at night to the club. You know, give my skin a little clearer look. I'm good on the.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I got that thing my cousin told me. I'm stuck on goals. Like gold is my only eyeshadow, but that's kind of all that I think I look good in. So I really, you know. Kind of plain Jane with us right now.
Send us an email at illusionsbeauty@gmail.com, and we will try to help you out with that.
All right. Well, nice talking with you, my friend.
My
in my head, when you
thank
say.
You. And please, please, please keep, you know, I was going to say keep hope alive, but
okay, bye.
To the civil rights movement. Definitely keep an eye out for everything that we're doing. I'm always posting things on Facebook. Please join the fan page and spread the word for us, please.
Okay.
And eventually we'll be wanting to do a line like that, so keep an eye out for that.
Monife, I think that's the NAACP, the Keep Hope Alive.
Yes. We might have got our legs a little confused on this end as well.
But let me ask you ladies this question because I've been getting some feedback in the chat room, and it's just something that I've been thinking about as well. And I think what you're doing is great, but based on the feedback that I'm getting, people are wondering. Let me see if I can just kind of sum it up. But I guess people are wondering. Would it be better to just kind of focus on the positive, focus on what's out there for women of color and not maybe put so much attention on, you know, the brands that don't make products for us?
I think I'm going to go ahead and tackle that question for us. You know, I think that the reason why we're putting attention on this is because in order to solve a problem, you have to admit that one is there. And it's not that we're definitely not ignoring the lines that are out there. We're so happy for the lines that are out there. We advocate them. We have worked for them. So, you know, we are thrilled about the lines that are out there. But knowing exactly the number of lines that are out there is what really brings to our attention how lacking the industry overall is in this area. I mean, we can't help but notice the fact that we are being wildly underserved as a demographic. And so it's not focusing on the negative. It's not like we're focusing on the negative, but we can't fix a problem if we cannot fix a problem if we are not paying attention to it. If we ignore the fact that 80% of the lines do not fit
most women of color and just say, oh, these, you know, these few lines over here, we just need to just, you know, that's already happening. Those lines have great PR people. They have great marketing campaigns, and they already have a great following. But those lines are not always accessible to every woman. And we really feel with this campaign, we want to make beauty accessible to everyone. Beauty is for everyone. So by no means should anyone take it as us being negative. We're not being negative. We are reflecting what is the fact. We're not saying anything that isn't true, that isn't researchable and statistically there. I mean, you can actually, every, you know, young lady out there can actually go to their nearest Sephora, their nearest mall, their nearest Macy's, whichever stores they want to go to have a collection of cosmetic lines, and go ahead and take inventory, as I did, and say, let me look at the lines that are here and see how many of the lines have something for me. And see how many of the lines have something. They're going to notice that there's a pattern. There's an average color that is in every single line. Actually, there's an average few colors that's in every single line. And so our thing is, how do we get that for us? And that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, I don't think people are saying or thinking that you guys are, you know, are being negative. I think it's more so it's a negative situation that
it is a negative situation. And I think that's why people have not addressed it. I feel like sometimes we like to sit and talk amongst ourselves and not really make it a public issue. And we have freedom of speech for a reason, to speak our minds. And right now it's starting to really, it's really getting to me to the point where I'm having these thoughts at night like this is ridiculous, that I'm working for, that I have worked for companies that literally have said, hey, we need you to sell this, da-da-da-da-da, and make this quota at the end of the month, but you have nothing for me. You have nothing at all for me to even wear. And it was crazy because I've had times where it was conflict, where they were upset that I was trying to sell other companies and giving recommendations for other things. But if you don't have it here, I have to tell this woman to go somewhere, and I have to be honest. At the end of the day, I believe that when you start a business or you're working for a business, usually your family and friends are the first people that you go to talk about it. And if it's a situation where sales are involved, if I can't sell to my own mother, if I can't sell to myself, if I can't buy anything, if I can't even use my discount to get anything, like, why am I here? Why am I representing a brand that does not represent me? And that's where it started. And I don't want to be negative, but at the same time, I don't want to dance around the issue. And I guess that's kind of why me and him work together. It's like a good cop, bad cop, because I'm the no-holds-bar girl. And him is like, okay, I'm going to clean this up a little bit. She's my censor. But at the same time, I feel like once women see a wider selection for them, they will totally appreciate it. Somebody has to do it. Because if nobody would have spoke up about discrimination years ago, we would have still had those colors-only signs on every single door of restaurants. We would still be sitting in the back of buses. So I'm going to take this opportunity where people are bringing awareness for these issues. You have movies like Good Hair. You have movies like the Dark Skin Girl movie that's coming out that is directed by Bill Duke. So people are starting to talk about this now, and it's been a taboo situation for many of years. And I think that this is a great time to build some self-awareness.
Absolutely. Now let me ask you, because Tasha, when she started asking questions about the actual campaign, I wanted to get back to that really quickly, just so you could put it out there. What will this campaign do for women of color? And then also, can you talk a little bit about, well, it's kind of the same thing, what will it do for women of color? And then I was going to ask you, what is this aim to do? Who's your audience? Who are you trying to speak to?
Yes. Oh, so, I mean, you know, our audience specifically for what the campaign is basically anyone who can relate in any way, shape, or form to this particular campaign and our message. One of the things that we want to do, we have several ideas for outreach, and it definitely revolves around education, and it also revolves around providing something for our community. So one of the things we want to do is we do want to do little seminars and workshops both for women of color and for artists. We want to go to different and talk to young women and help them to start gaining a good idea of self-image and realize that they are beautiful, and they are not some marginal few who may be or maybe not beautiful despite the color of their skin. That's we're trying to kind of dispel that idea that can be subtly ingrained subconsciously because of things you see in the media and because of things you experience at the counters and because of all kinds of things that you know, women of color are faced with on a daily basis. One of the other things that we want to do in our outreach is to go to different, we want to go to different towns and actually help the underprivileged. You know, there are some women of color out there who in fact are underprivileged, and just because they're underprivileged doesn't mean that they don't deserve beauty as well. But not just only for the underprivileged. We also want to do this for everyone. We want to be able to go to different towns and actually give them beauty weekends where we will do seminars, we'll do consultations, and for certain amounts of people, we are going to actually do a little cosmetics kit with really fantastic cosmetics specifically for them and their skin needs, and provide that to them. We're starting small because we are an up and coming not for profit. We really just started, and the only reason we're even on the show today is because, you know, somebody related to the message that we just started. So we're really glad the way that's taken off. But we want to definitely outreach and give back to our community by giving them the cosmetics that they need, and educating the artists, and by doing so educating the industry. We also hope, well, we really hope, and this is one on our wish list, we hope that we can get a few really great cosmetic lines, big cosmetic lines, that are currently underserving demographic to give us at least 2 to 3, maybe even 4 additional shades for women of color. If we could get that, I mean, that in and of itself would be such a huge step that we will definitely have felt like we have accomplished something. But these are things, this, you know, one of the reasons why we call it a campaign is because we're campaigning for a movement. It's not just an organization where we want to, you know, have cute little soirees and say we're here for a purpose. We actually want to make a movement. We are, you know, we're doing it kind of grassroots. We want for women who feel affected by this and women who feel moved to say something about it, we want them to take part in it. We have a pictorial campaign that we're going to be doing that's going to bring forward some images that are going to be moving images that are going to, you know, and they say a picture is worth 1,000 words. So we want to make our 1,000 words count where that's concerned. And we're going to be doing that in all different ways to kind of, if we get enough people in motion, we really feel like we can make a difference on the industry. And yes, I know the caller that we had in Tasha, she mentioned about what can we actually advocate as different lines. There are great lines out there. Makeup Forever is a fantastic line for women of color. MAC, as many women are already using, is a great color. Becca is a cosmetics line that is hard to find that has a lot of shades for women of color. Iman, Black Opal as well. I know that Illusions, you guys said you have a cosmetic line. There are things out there for women of color, but, you know, there are not as many, but there definitely are. And eventually the MAACD, we do want to make a cosmetic line. Our cosmetic line is not going to be so much about frills. It's going to be about tackling the issue of having all different kinds of foundations and concealers for women of color, because we understand that lip glosses and eyeshadows and mascaras are sold everywhere. But eyeshadow bases for women of color and concealers, foundations, those kind of things are not easy to find. So we will eventually venture in that direction. But for now, we definitely want to be able to provide the women that we educate, whether they are makeup artists or not, we want to be able to provide them with different products. And we will personally get those products with as part of what our organization will do. We will get those products for them and provide them with a huge kit of those products.
Now, I know that you all are still new and up and coming, but have you experienced any negative backlash from what you've done so far?
No, we just get that, but we do get that question a lot. But not again. Monique, why don't you go ahead and take that? What have you experienced?
No, honestly, I haven't. At first, I felt kind of uncomfortable talking to my makeup artist girlfriends that are white, because at first I didn't want them to be offended, but then I realized that, you know what, they might not even be aware of this issue, but they are. And they were like, oh, my God, what can we do? You know, I see this problem all the time whenever I'm working with clients. I don't have the right colors. I don't have the right companies.
unless they are working with like a line that is, has a wide range, just like a makeup artist line, like a MAC or Inglot, they have a wide range of color. But I feel like the companies that are geared towards the everyday woman does not. And the support from them was very entertaining at the same time, because they're like, we want to be a part of it, but can we? Do we have to be black? And I'm like, no, you don't. It's, the organization is Makeup Artists Against Complexion Discrimination. And I think they realize this void, but because it's not something that is necessarily geared towards them, it's not anything that they take home with them and really think about and focus on. But once you say it, people are aware of it. There are men who don't even wear makeup, and they understand this whole campaign. So the backlash is probably going to come from those cosmetic companies that didn't throw that extra cocoa powder in the formulation that they already have, but that's okay, because those are the people I'm talking to.
Okay.
So bring on the backlash. And not only that, I mean, you know, Monique and I, because we have been asked that question before, we often look at each other every time. It's like the first time we're being asked. We're just like, oh, the thing is, there really is no negative backlash. What are you going to say? That's not true. Yes, it is. Go count them. You know, what's backlash? You know what I mean? There's not really much to say to what we're saying, because we are simply stating the facts. They're really, you know, other than saying that we don't deserve shades, the fact of the matter is, this is a negative backlash. We are the negative backlash. We're from being tired of not being represented at the counter. That's what this is. So there really isn't much to say to us except for, you know, okay, moving along, or okay, I would like to be part of it. It's, you know, so we're kind of lucky that way. And we are prepared for some negative backlash. Maybe some people will say, I can't even in my mind imagine what people would say, because I don't think that we're doing anything that is horrible, or I don't think we're saying anything that is controversial. I don't think we're, you know, pulling any infamously controversial celebrity moves here.
You're not saying anything that people don't already know.
Right.
Exactly.
We're not getting up here saying
we're just the elephant in the room that decided to walk around.
Right. We're not saying anything for shock value. We're not doing anything for shock value. We're simply saying, hey, are you guys aware? We know we're aware. We as women of color, we all know that we're aware, regardless of what our ethnicity or actual nation of origin is. We all know that we're aware of that issue. But we want to tap the rest of the demographics on the shoulder and say, are you guys aware of this issue we're having? And, you know, we've done that. We have found that, you know, there have been Mediterranean women. I personally have a makeup artist who I'm very close to in South Florida, who is Persian. She, you know, is a woman of color. And she herself has said to me she's had so many issues doing makeup for women of color, because the colors are just not there. She's worked for many different lines. She's a very talented artist. She basically just custom blends everywhere she goes, just because she can't rely on any, you know, one thing. And I know many artists who just custom blend where they go. They keep their standard, you know, I want to say pot concealer, but it's not concealer. It's the big pot foundations. You know, they just keep a bunch of them in different colors and some emollient medium, and they basically just make it work wherever they are, just so that they're never thrown a curveball. But there should be something out there for them, because not every woman of color, customer, makeup consumer, has that advantage. So there's nothing really negative about what we're saying.
Now, we have Megan on the line, and she has a question. I want to jump in and get her in really quickly.
Oh, wonderful.
Hello? Megan?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Okay.
Yes. Hello. All right. Hi, ladies. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Fine. I guess it's kind of a question. I'm listening, and I think it's really, really awesome what you guys are doing, because it's kind of like a voice for people who, I wouldn't say don't really have a voice, but for people who wouldn't usually speak up about something like this. But, and, you know, people always tell me that, oh, I just like the debate, or I like to play devil's advocate. But I was just listening and thinking, like, personally, and I am a black woman, I don't even say African-American, I'm black, I don't get into, like, all that specific terminology, I'm black. And I'm a black woman, I'm a makeup artist, I am. I'm going to keep it exactly 100%. That's how I roll.
I love it.
But I think that for me, like there are so many companies that, and I am a makeup artist, I'm sorry, that do have like shades for us. I just wonder if, let me see how I can put this. Like as a businesswoman, I understand where certain companies come from with having a limited amount of shades.
Right.
Do I think it's right? No, I do not. Because, of course, there's a form of exclusion there, right? But,
yes.
And I'm the queen of examples. If I am a sneaker company and I'm marketing to golfers, of course, for profit, it would make sense for me to open my market up to basketball players, runners, soccer players, but that's also going to mean that I'm going to have more materials, I'm going to have to hire more people, I'm going to have to do X, I'm going to have to hire more designers, I'm going to have to, you know, travel and test textiles and do that. So as a businesswoman, I understand why some companies keep it small because, one, people like to feel like they're getting exclusive product and, you know, you can't find it everywhere and it's only for this type of person. And mm-hmm. it also cuts down on cost. And usually companies who only, I won't say only because I don't know if it's that they're only, well, I will say that, that only serve Anglo women or, you know, Caucasian women or fair-skinned women with pink undertones, whatever you want to call it, European women, they're going after a certain market, and it's usually, and I'm going to say their names, it's usually your Chanel's, it's your Armani's, even though they have, they're starting to get darker colors, but it is your, like, high-end, high-fashion brands.
Yeah.
They're not really checking for our money, you know what I mean? They're not,
well,
let's just keep it real. The fashion industry is a, it's not really a brown friendly industry.
Well, I
would not, getting me.
I would say,
but I mean, you see what I'm saying? So, from a businesswoman's
aspect, you're thinking of more of a supply and demand.
That's on one hand, but on the other hand, like, I get it. And you even, one of you, I'm not sure which one said, but one of you even said that makeup or the cosmetic industry, most of the clients or the customers, all right, women. So if
I said that it started as a European, it's part of the European culture. But
right,
this is something that has been embraced by
African culture. Actually,
I was gonna actually. Can I just? And I think when Monife says cosmetics started as European culture, I think she's talking about specifically about doing the painting the face as in foundation and cover up. Because actually, lipstick. We all know that lipstick and eyeliner. Those things came from Egypt and from Africa and those areas. So, but I think she's talking about specifically the idea of foundations and covering the skin, which is very European.
Yeah, what I'm talking about is more of the history of where that came from. But I feel that most cosmetic companies feel the same way that you do. They feel like we're not their consumers. We're not buying from them. And that's a lie. We just not buying from that company because they don't make it for us. They will buy it. If they were marketed to, they will buy it if you had the shade. No, I cannot buy a pair of shoes from you if you don't sell shoes. If you sell earrings, why would I come to you to buy shoes?
But I think also
because you're not gearing towards me. And I feel like these cosmetic companies try to get over with that, and they feel like the black woman is not coming out to buy it. But when you go and look at the numbers of how much money women are actually spending, we're wasting money because we keep trying these lines, these high-end lines that have that one color that is supposed to represent everybody, and they feel like, okay, this darker shade of Naomi Campbell wears this from NARS, but at the end of the day, I bring it home, and it's not my shade. But that's the only brown, dark brown shade that you have from that line, and I'm supposed to fit myself into that foundation. And I feel like it's a slap in the face because if you feel like black women aren't buying, then don't even try to make a foundation for us. Don't even try to throw that one shade on a gondola and say this is the end-all, be-all for you just to say that we do have something for you. Because then, to me, it's just like you already have the formulation. You're not necessarily spending any more money to throw a little bit more pigment into it. Whether you're using iron oxide, regular dyes, vegetable coloring, whatever you are using to formulate,
you already have the foundation made up. So it's like you're not paying attention to us at all, but in a sense you're trying to do something just so nobody complains about it.
And I think also to the point of saying, you know, as a businesswoman, I can understand that, you know, because our caller had said, you know, from a business perspective, I think, you know, the main thing here is that businesses are supposed to be about making money. And so if you are going to spend money to formulate a line of foundations and you're going to make 22 foundation shades, my question is, are you really, I mean, when you're making 18 of those shades, a range that, quite frankly, you don't need 18 shades of beige. You don't. Okay, I've been a makeup artist for a long time, and there are about 7 shades within I have found in my personal experience that most white women fit into. Okay, and especially when you start playing, if you have a more, in fact, if you have a really good line of concealers, your foundation is something that you can use very lightly to kind of blend and finish the skin with. So when I see a line that has 22 colors and 18 colors are variations of beige, and let me also say that the women with very, very, very fair skin are also highly underserved. With the women with the really, really, really fair skin, they're also highly underserved. Because you'll see one of those extra fair shades in, you know, that's why the organization is not, you know, against specifically black complexion discrimination. It's just complexion discrimination. We're talking about all the complexions that are left out on the color wheel. And when you look at who is being served and everybody else is left out, that's a problem, especially from a business point of view. Because why are you only serving this small demographic so well and so poorly underserving this other demographic? And also to the point of saying, you know, that the fashion industry is not really sort of geared towards women of color, you know, I think that is something that I think when we start saying the fashion industry and versus the beauty industry, I know that they very much do go hand in hand. But they absolutely
No,
do.
I agree with her on that one about the fashion industry not caring towards us.
No, I'm hearing that, but I think that the cosmetics and the beauty industry is supposed to be a lot vaster than the ready to wear or even high end. Let's not even talk about high end couture. Fashion industry, as far as who it's serving, you know, because when you look at the fashion industry, really, especially the couture industry, you're talking about an elite group of people anyway, and that's basically on what their net income is, because your average Joe is not going to be able to spend, you know, $8,000 on a pair of shoes. So, you know, clearly there is a little bit of differentiation. Cosmetics is supposed to be for everyone. Beauty is supposed to be for everyone. And when you are saying things like, you know, you have some of these lines that are really big lines that are sold in drugstores and they're sold at Target, and they're really big lines. And by the way, shout out to, we love CoverGirl's Queen Collection, that they came up with something like that. That was a wonderful thing. But we'd like to see more lines doing things like that, because those lines are in those drugstores for everybody. And you look at the demographics of where that Target is located and where that Walmart is located, where that CVS is located, okay, and oftentimes it's in a well-mixed area, if not mostly brown area. So absolutely, from a business point of view, we even want to know more so. What are you guys doing? Why are you leaving us out? We should be represented, you know, at least equally in those lines, at the very least. Chanel and, you know, Givenchy and, all you know, all these other lines, God bless them, and we would love for them to give us some additional colors as well. But they're not the huge ones that we're talking about. We're talking about the ones that are available to everyone and that are marketed to everyone, because those other lines are marketed to everyone. You see, you know, women of color in commercials for lines that do not carry the color of the model that's in the commercial. And that's outrageous. So that would be our thought. But I think that's an excellent question, and I think it's definitely something we thought of, you know, when we were first thinking of the organization. We're like, well, you know, I mean, we have to really look at it. It was upon really going out and looking at it that we saw, no, it was crazy.
So, hello, can you guys still hear me?
Oh, yes, I can hear you now.
Yes.
I didn't
okay.
hear you before.
So then you guys' movement, or what you're going for, is more so about inclusion. And it's funny that you bring this up, because I'm also a plus-size woman. And I don't know if maybe I'm just weird. I grew up in L.A., so I grew up in Baltimore City, and I grew up in Compton. Okay, so I'm a chick from the inner city, and I don't know if it's just the way that I grew up and my family, but my family always taught me that essentially, if somebody isn't like checking for you, or if somebody isn't making something, or if it's not geared towards you, then don't give them your business, and don't sweat them, and don't worry about them, and that kind of thing. I'm a big girl. I'm not going to go in to Limited and be like, why y'all don't make this in 18 or 20? That's exactly. Not what I'm going to take my voluptuous booty right to the Lane Bryant or the Gap or wherever I can, you know what I mean? And I guess for me, I just feel like we as minorities, women of color, and that could be, because Asian women have a really hard time too. We as minorities, women of color all over, I think we give too much energy and put too much focus on what we don't have instead of what we do have. I'm not even sure for companies that don't make. And like I said, like maybe 20 years ago when it was Floyd Roberts, Fashion Fair, you know, I don't know how long Black Oprah's been out. But
colors are still a mess.
But you know what? I'm not even mad at them because they were innovative and they were around when MAC, Makeup Forever, were definitely, nobody was checking for Black folks but Fashion Fair because we did it on our own and we created something for us, FUBU, for us, by us. So I'm not even mad. My aunt still wears, I call her, she don't know I call her this, but I call her Aunt Yammy because she still wears that orange foundation. And you know what? I ain't even stop her because you do your thing, Auntie. Mm-hmm. And my thing is, I just think that we're just giving too much energy. And even with Bill Duke and this movie, and I even sat down with, like, we had, like, a little sister circle with some of my dark-skinned sisters. We just all sat around and talked about the movie. And they were like, this isn't my experience. I don't know what it's like. I mean, of course people teased them or said something to them before, but they were just not raised to focus on what other people have to say about them. And I just feel
some
like
people.
We're just... Right, because I know that my girlfriends, and maybe because I align myself with people who are like me, I understand that that's not everybody's experience. Clearly, watching the trailer, you see women crying, so I know that, you know, they don't have the same experience as my friends. Right, but I just feel like we just, one, like somebody said earlier, is something that everybody already knows. It's not even really an elephant in the room, because racism is never an elephant in the room. Racism is the oxygen in the air in the room that we are breathing. But I just think that giving it that energy is just focusing it on something else, when I just think that energy would be better served somewhere else.
Well, it's funny that I'm glad that you said something about the industry of plus size women, because there had to be a plus size woman that had a complaint for these companies to start expanding their lines. So now you can go into certain stores that a couple of years ago didn't have a plus size line. They stopped at a size 12, and then go and before that they probably didn't stop past an 8 because they felt a 10 was a plus size. So then they kept giving you some sizes here and there. So they said, you know what? They keep demanding. We're going to give them a 10 and a 12. Now we're going to expand. We're going to go up to a 16. Now we're going to go up to a 20. And that's because somebody had to say something. They didn't just do it on their own. And they also saw that it was a void in the market because these women were looking for this representation. And I'm looking at my campaign as if anybody else looks at a campaign for anti-bullying. In a sense, there are women who have experienced the backlash of colorism that is a form of bullying, that is a form of low self-esteem. And these women have experienced that all their lives. And then the aftermath of that is now they want to feel beautiful. They're having these corporate jobs. They're feeling a little bit better about themselves because they feel like they have their education and they're not worried about what happened in the inner city. They moved up from that. But it's still something that you're not going to be able to escape, because now you're at the cosmetic counter where you're supposed to go to feel beautiful, and you're still facing rejection. And I don't feel like it's a negative energy. I'm just doing something that is my everyday life. I'm a Black woman. My mother is from North America. My father's from South America, which would be the Caribbean. So So I've dealt with so many different issues that black people deal with, and I can't save the world. I can't deal with, well, I can't change the fact that sometimes American blacks look at Caribbean blacks in a certain light or African blacks in a certain light or back, vice versa. I can't help that someone may feel that I can't marry their grandson because I'm a birthday color line. I cannot help that. But as a makeup artist, where I'm sitting here and you are telling me that you want me to work for your company and you're telling me how beautiful I am, but at the same time, you're saying how the creator of this brand formulated so many different brands and you're going to focus on a purple mascara, but you don't have anything for me. To me, it's like, how many times am I going to keep saying this? And I feel like somebody has to say something, because other than that, it's not going to be done. And I feel like they're going to treat our campaign as they treat whatever plus-size woman and plus-size people said something about this fashion industry that's not representing them. And those same women who are now being represented somewhat, like black women are in the fashion world, now you'll see a plus-size model sprinkled here and there, and then you'll see two token black women sprinkled here and there. So to me, it's the same thing. And, I mean, whoever supports it, supports it. If you can relate to it, then of course you will support it. If it's something that you don't care, if you got your favorite foundation, this don't bother you, you don't worry about it in your everyday life, then all praises to you. But at the end of the day, there's so many people who have this issue that, and sometimes I look at people and I'm just like, why is my complexion so serious for you? Why is it an issue for you? But I'm tired of going out and not being represented. I'm tired of people coming to me and asking, what can I use? What can I do? And I only have like a good five companies that I could say off the top of my head that I know that they can go to. But yet, you go into Sephora and there's hundreds of gondolas, 75 product lines. And out of that 75, the ratio is ridiculous on what the representation is.
Absolutely.
Are we still on the air? Yes,
okay.
We can hear you now.
Okay, yes. Wow, that's all I can say. We've definitely covered a lot of ground. This is one of those shows where you could talk about this subject.
The never-ending story.
On and on and on.
That's right. You know what, the thing is, this issue doesn't even have a beginning practically. Like, if you can go all the way to the beginning of time with this issue, so you can go to the end of time with this issue. I know that's right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It never ends. And there are so many issues in this issue, you know, that you can talk about. But I think we've covered a lot tonight. Is there anything about the campaign that you guys didn't mention that you want people to know about? I know you talked about some photo shoots. If you could kind of explain that in detail so that the listeners will know how they can get involved. You know, websites, if you want to mention, you can feel free to do that. Anything that you haven't said that you want people to know about, you can feel free to do so.
Well, one of the things we want to do is definitely make sure everyone can find out more about us at about.me/MAACD, and that is a little splash page we have that basically has all of our links on there. It has the link to our site, which right now is actually the Tumblr site, which is maacd.tumblr.com. And they can always email us with any questions and comments, inquiries, feedback of any kind. All kinds of feedback are shaping and educational feedback for us. So, you know, any inquiries or thoughts that anyone has, we welcome them to email us at info@maacdcampaign.org. And again, that's also available on our About Me page. But also, you know, yeah, just we want to do an outreach. We want to educate our community. We want to uplift women of color, and that doesn't just mean black women. That means women of all different ethnicities. And we want to empower everyone, you know, to know that they can be equally represented at the cosmetic counter or gondola or wherever it is that you're shopping, whether it's in Sephora, it'll be a gondola. If it's in a department store, it'll be a counter. I'm going to let Monife tell you a little bit more about the pictorial pledges, because that is kind of our campaign baby. That is our most important tool. So,
Okay.
Yeah. What I would love to do is kind of like a city tour. Right now, we're going to do our first pictorial campaign in New York City. The first date would be on September 11th, and of course, you guys can email us at info@maacdcampaign.org if you want to sign up for anything or to be put on our mailing list for whenever mm-hmm. we're coming to your town. So we're going to do New York. We're going to do D.C., Philadelphia, the Palm Beach area, and we're also going to do Atlanta. And the pictorial pledge is basically if you don't want to, you know, be very boisterous and you want to do a silent protest, in a sense, we invite you to come down to our photo shoot. It's kind of like a day of beauty with a cause where you would come down and meet photographers, makeup artists, and the pledge is to take your picture. That way we can gain these images to show these cosmetic companies that basically these are the different range of women. And these are the women that support this cause, whether they are white makeup artists, whether they are male makeup artists, whether they are someone who knows someone who is having this issue. You can support in any way that you possibly want, whether it's the photo shoots, whether it's shopping at our online store, which is also on our About Me page. We have a couple of T-shirts for that. But I really want people to come down to the pictorial pledge because that's how you will personally meet us, and that's how we actually get to hear your story. If this is a concern from you and you want to help support raising awareness about colorism and educating the community. And you can also do a testimonial if you choose to, which is say something. You can submit a statement of past experiences. Yes, it can be anonymous if you choose to. And we just want people to just be a part of this and embrace it.
And do me a favor and give me that About Me address again.
Yes. So it's about.me/MAACD.
Okay.
And that will have everything up there. It has our fan page that we just started, our fan page, our Twitter page. It has pretty much everything about us you can possibly think of on that site.
Every link that's related to us. And then we're constantly updating it. So anytime we are, you know, like we said, we're brand new. We kind of hit the ground running. So we're building a new website, and that will eventually, the address for that will be up there soon too. But you can find basically everything you need to know about us at About Me. /MAACD.
Okay. And I wanted my sister, because she was having problems, she said she's screaming at the top of her lungs, and none of us can hear her. Are you there?
Oh, no.
Hello?
We don't hear her. Hmm. We hear you.
She must be having some kind of technical problem, because it shows that she's here and she's live, but we can't hear her. Okay, so I don't know if there was any other questions that she may have had or what have you. But we always ask all of our guests at the end of the show what beauty means to you. So I'd like to hear from the both of you what beauty means to each of you.
Okay, well, this is Emma. I'm going to go ahead and answer first. I would say, you know, beauty to me means self-actualization, which is when you get to a place where you're really doing what you know you're meant to do and you realize that, which is also for me the definition of success. And when you are in that space and that permeates out, to me, that is beauty. You can see that some people are just naturally happy, positive people, and to me, those are beautiful people. I don't think beauty has an awful lot to do with these superficial enhancements that we make with makeup and clothing, you know, fashion and things like that. For me, beauty is really something that comes from inside out, as cliche as that may sound. Now, that being said, I love a good, strong red lip on anybody. I would definitely say that's one of my beauty favorites, but if I had to define beauty, it would be the way I just did. To me, beauty is more of a feeling. At times, of course, it is definitely a look, but to me, you can put on the best face you have ever had in your life, and depending on what's going on with you mentally, you're not going to feel beautiful. And I realized that as a makeup artist, we kind of act as a psychiatrist sometimes to people who come and sit in our chairs. And I don't care what walk of life they come from. They can be an A-list celebrity,
they can be someone who just came in and they're getting their makeup done for a wedding. Women who are dealing with day-to-day issues and pressure don't feel beautiful, and they will beat themselves up. And you're like, what are you talking about? And you're looking at her features, you're looking at her face, and you're thinking that this woman is beautiful, this woman is gorgeous. What will her issue be? When we think of women who are going through relationships with men and they feel like they're not good enough, you're like, oh, my gosh, she's so beautiful. What's wrong with her? And I realize that beauty is, when they say it's skin deep, I believe that it's an emotion. If you feel good, you look good. If you feel confident, you walk with confidence. If you're having a great day, it shows, it exudes you, and it's like you're wearing it on your sleeve. So beauty to me is good health and sanity. And when you are feeling beautiful, you're going to look beautiful.
All right.
Amen.
Absolutely. You're right.
Because right now I look a mess.
But she's beautiful.
But she's beautiful.
But
what
I feel
the point
beautiful.
Is.
But woo, if you saw me now.
Well, thank you, ladies, so much. It's been a wonderful conversation. I'm glad we could get you on so you guys could just share with everyone.
Yeah,
you know,
thank
what the
you so much
all
for
about.
Thank you so much for inviting us on, and you know, we were very impressed with your show. We were listening to some of the archived ones. So thank you so much for inviting us on. It was a pleasure to spoken with you, and it was a great opportunity. Yes, and we look forward to seeing you guys. We're going to be in your area for our pictorial pledge, so I'm going to call you.
Okay. Okay. You do exactly
all right,
that. And just, you know, you guys keep putting information out there. Feel free to share information on our Facebook page when you guys are, you know, doing something so we can get the message out there.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, ladies. Have a great night.
All right. Good night.
You as well. Good night.
Bye-bye.
And for those of you out there who enjoyed tonight's show, please go out there and mark it as a favorite here on Blog Talk Radio. You can leave us a comment here on our Blog Talk Radio profile page, or you can also comment on our Facebook page or, you know, our fan pages, or even follow us on Twitter and post your comments. I believe my sister Denise will be doing some posts tonight. She's going to have a follow-up chat based on tonight's Blog Talk Radio show, and I believe you can find her either out on the Illusions Facebook group page or the Denise Tunnell fan page. Check those pages, and she's doing a follow-up chat probably right now as we speak based on the information that we discussed on tonight's show. Stay tuned to our Facebook group page and our Twitter pages as we will be announcing next week's guest. And until next week, be beautiful and blessed.